that people fit into. When you look at the history of China, and it's always been, China also suffered all these onslaughts of people. Whenever came in, they made them Chinese. Okay? Or India, the same way. And yet they remolded them in their own image to some degree. And yet, but, you know, a shallower culture, and I certainly didn't want that on tape, isn't able to do it the same way. Okay? Yeah. You know,
we're a culture that is many cultures anyway.
Yeah, all right.
Do you think that...
I think it also has partly to do with demography in part, you know, the fact that, you know, that Miami was a frontier community in itself and posed of a lot of old people who saw this again as very fearful. It was, you know, threatening their ideal retirement, right? Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you one other thing about that? I don't want to, you know, press your stamina here, but...
Mm-hmm.
What was was there a Cuban community in Miami before the 1960s?
Oh, yes.
And what was it like?
Oh, there was a large group of Cubans, as I say, there was a large Cuban community in Key West in Tampa that you know about. But there was also a fairly large group of those who had fled from Batista in Miami previous to that. Okay, so that was interesting. Now, some of them went back when Fidel took over, but not all of them did. Yeah. That this is fairly. By the way, the last issue of Cuban Studies is all on Mariel, and it's got some. There's an excellent article in there by a woman named Sylvia Pedraza Bailey that talks about the stages of Cuban migration and ties it in with political changes. And she mentions this earlier group. There's also another very controversial article that I don't think I may have a copy of it here. I'd have to check. That talks about the mafia group, you know, that had grown, that was very prevalent in Havana earlier, and that then got transplanted to Miami, and the degree to which that has been influential in the terrorist, the strong anti-Castro forces in the Miami community, and how that's been tied in with mafia sources and so on. She has a book that's about to be published. I don't know how she's going to continue living in the United States. I really don't, for a variety of reasons. Yeah.
In terms of, I just had a couple of questions that occurred to me as you were talking. In terms of culture...
Is the tape on now, by the way?
Yeah. In terms of culture, how would you say folk traditions function when one leaves the matrix from which it all stems from? You uproot yourself and go somewhere else. And what happens? Do they become more important, less important?
I think certain aspects become more important because you suddenly realize what it is to be Cuban or Puerto Rican or West Indian. Whereas that was something that you took for granted before. And you suddenly realize that you are different from everyone else. And then you have two options. Either you choose to emphasize that difference and try and retain some identity as a Puerto Rican or a Cuban or a West Indian. Or you try to shed that identity as quickly as possible and become completely American. And as I say, I think now the third option is increasingly prevalent, which is, in a sense, a revitalization taking place, but one that is not just a emphasis on the retention of traditional cultural values, but on the new culture that is growing up in the migrant community. So that I think that, you know, the rites of passage, the celebrations, the language, the food, customs, and so on, all become part of that, become a way of emphasizing that.
We had some people tell us, you know, in different ways, in their own words, why they felt it was important to, say, play salsa music, and had to come from the heart. It's the way that they felt, and probably would never lose that, even though they may have even been born in the United States.
Well, I think it's more important for those who are born in the United States, you see. because in a sense they cannot take that culture for granted, okay? And they have to find a new identity. And there are some who may, as I say, who may find that by just becoming American, and for that's easier, again, if you're middle class and light-skinned, and possess other kinds of, speak the language well and so on, which presumably if you're born here you would be able to do. But there are others who are opting for not doing that, you know, who are opting to retain and even more so revitalize, return to a cultural tradition, but with one which is not simply a transplant. Yeah.
What do you think is the future for Caribbean immigration?
Unfortunately, and that was another aspect I meant to add onto the agriculture, I think it will, because the islands are in a political and economic crisis. I mean, they are greatly overpopulated, they lack resources, and there is really nowhere else for them to go, and unless we're able to find... It's true that President Reagan has recently launched the Caribbean Basin Initiative, but the amount of money that he's talking about and the kind of solutions that he's talked about really, for me, are very reminiscent of Operation Bootstrap under Puerto Rico. And it did not solve the economic problems. Bootstrap did not solve the economic problems of Puerto Rico. It brought a higher standard of living, and because a lot of the funds were also spent on social welfare, which is not included in the Caribbean Basin Initiative, by the way. It was much more than industrialization that brought that higher standard of living. It was also spending a lot more money on education and health and housing and whole variety fields. So that it's true that you got some return migration to Puerto Rico, but you still find... easily figures of 30% unemployment right now on the island. And so why go back to a program of the 1950s that didn't work on one island and now try to apply it to the whole area? But I think that people are just at a loss to find solutions to this problem. And I think as long as the problem is there, the migration will continue, legally or illegally.
How do you think people who are in the Caribbean view the United States?
I still think they look at it as the Mecca. I think there's increasing realization that things are not that easy. But it still looked... I mean, you can still find a job, and it may be maybe a very hard job, unskilled labor, and housing may be a problem, and you're discriminated against, and so on. But it's still, it's worth the risk, because that's all you have, you know. And I think that the only solution that I see as far more feasible is the question of temporary migration, of trying to institutionalize in a much greater way now than is done with H-2 contract labor and so on, some form of temporary migration, because for many of these people what they want is basically to come here, earn some money in order to be able to go back, as many of the return migrants to Puerto Rico and other parts of the West Indies have done, start a small business or at least be able to buy a house for your family or things like that. And... perhaps if that could be institutionalized, many of them end up staying here, partly because if they go back, if they're undocumented aliens, they've run the risk of not being able to return. So they end up staying and staying and staying and then having children born here, and then eventually the question of going back looks more and more remote.
Yeah. That's good.
Are there any last words you'd like to say?
Tax your stamina.
You had this paper. You had, an earlier version of this where I didn't have some of the Cuban Haitian. I have some Cuban Haitian material in here now.
Really?
Yeah, it's still...
It's still becoming.
It's still becoming. Right. In fact, that's the one I'm reworking now into a much longer paper that's going to deal with this whole question. And it's full of typos also.
We don't have a copy of this version.
No, that includes some data. Yeah. On. Don't quote my figures on the Haitian migrants, because I think that that's figures, way off.
I think everybody's figures are a little...
I mean, they're really... I mean, they... Yeah, yeah.
I think it actually, in the shows, we're concerned less with figures and more with... you know, talking about culture in general terms rather than trying to pinpoint, you know, how many...
Yeah, we're not so concerned with, you know, the
numbers,
specific
right.
political things or specific economic things, but these as a background...